Present.
Vicki Russell here.
Bobby Breeze present. So we have a quorum. And we have a couple others, Craig and Dan. Is that it? Just those two missing? Oh, and Ann. Absent by prior arrangement. Stu, do you want to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Alright, Cory, do we have any added agenda items?
The staff doesn't have any.
Does anybody have, like, do you have any added?
Nope.
Alright, moving right along. We need to appoint a chairperson for the Budget Committee. Do we have any nominations for that?
He was an absent.
Oh, again, thanks.
Or Budget Committee?
Yes.
Do we have any nominations?
All of us. Doesn't have any. I still need.
I nominate Connie.
I second.
Alright, we have a first and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Alright, I will be the chairperson for the Budget Committee. So, item six. Cory, do you want, I'm assuming you're gonna do the presentation for the proposed budget?
Yes.
Okay.
I will, and I wanna actually start by saying that you may notice that there are no citizen representatives on the Budget Committee this year. And we did some digging and identified that the Budget Committee representatives must be from within the district. So one of the challenges that we've had in the past, it wasn't one we couldn't overcome, but it made it a little harder to identify exactly, is that we'd never had a good GIS, like satellite image map of the urban renewal district boundaries. So Holly passed those out, and we had that provided, made by the county in partnership with their services. And so that'll help us next year to be more proactive about trying to recruit citizen Budget Committee members from inside the district. So I just want to make note of that. It's not unprecedented. There are urban renewal agency districts that encompass, say, only industrial area zones where no one lives. And in that case, the board acts as the Budget Committee. And so in this instance, where we were unable to recruit from within the urban renewal district, for this fiscal year, all of you are acting as the Budget Committee. So just a note.
For clarification, they have to live, they can't have a business within the district.
Must live within, yeah, it's interesting. So there are certainly some residential pockets within the urban renewal district, but not a lot. So we'll have to be targeted and strategic about that next year, and we will be. We'll see if we get anybody. So with that said, all of you were sent last week, and we've had posted on our website and here at City Hall, a copy of the proposed budget document. And those of you who are on the City Council have noticed over the last couple years in particular that the budget document has gotten longer. We've added more materials to it. Largely that's that we want the budget document to be something that anyone could come in and pick up or go on the website and look at and get a good sense of what the agency is, what they're supposed to be doing, what the mission is, how they're spending their dollars, what projects they're prioritizing, what to look forward to in the coming year, what was accomplished in the previous year, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's not all that long, but we have added some sections to this budget document, even including just outlining the budget process as it relates to Oregon state law and why we establish a budget, how we approve and adopt a budget, and how we amend a budget throughout the fiscal year if necessary. So I'm not going to read through the entire budget message. That's these first 2.5-3 pages here, but I will skim over it, and then I'd like to turn our attention to the actual budget worksheet. So As all of you know, the Urban Renewal Agency was formed back in the summer of 2014. And since then, the majority of the funds have just been accruing. They've been rolling over to the next year's budget. At the same time, the tax revenues have been increasing for a variety of reasons. Any new development within the Urban Renewal District goes, all of those property taxes go to the Urban Renewal Agency. And then any of the growth in property taxes or increase in property taxes above where they were frozen in 2014 goes to the Urban Renewal Agency as well. So over those years, other than spending some funds on the annual audits as well as this fiscal year we're in right now, supporting the Sustainable City Year program, at the start of the fiscal year 18-19 budget on July 1, we'll have $184,585,000 in total resources. So that's the amount that we have to start with. And then what staff prepared here in the proposed budget is, how do we balance that budget? How do we account for and allocate each of those dollars? So moving down, let's see, I'm kind of skimming through these paragraphs. We had talked last month on the heels of the work that the Sustainable City Year students did on the short-term and the long-term best practices, that we had wanted to, or there was an appetite for creating a storefront assistance program, and also on allocating some dollars to be available for what were being referred to as minor enhancement projects, especially with an eye towards safety, above and beyond aesthetics, but also keeping that in mind. And so they had provided some general percentages. If you actually look in the Urban Renewal Plan in the report, there's a sort of a tentative budget in the back section of that as well. So staff sort of looked at both of those and looked at the available resources we had. And in this budget, there's approximately 30% of the budget is set aside for expenditure this next year on creating a storefront assistance program. It's a total of about $50,000. There's also about $30,000 for minor. There's about 30% for minor capital enhancements, which is exactly budgeted in here at $50,000. There's 20% reserved for future capital, that's $37,000. 10% in fund contingency, and the remainder of the budget, that last 10%, is spread across operating expenses. I know that we talked about this concept as well, that any of the expenditures that are budgeted that aren't spent will just again roll over to the following year. Let's see here. Went into a little bit more detail, kept it fairly high level, but definitely wanted to provide some on this page, the second page. Wanted to provide a little bit of context for what the storefront assistance program will look like. And actually, in the final version, I want to change that header to assistance. That's one of the things that we've been thinking through and we'll spend time on over the summer and into the fall, is what does the actual program look like? What percentage or portion might be grant? What might be forgivable loan? What might be low interest loan? So I was hesitant to call it a storefront grant program, hesitant to call it a storefront loan program. I think a storefront assistance program makes the most sense. It's kind of a minor thing.
No, I think it's good.
And please stop me. I know I'm kind of talking through this, hopefully not too fast, but interrupt me, stop me. But after kind of walking through it, I definitely want to have some discussion and get all your feedback before you all consider approving this. So I talked about some of these best practices. Again, staff's intention, as I mentioned already, through summer and fall, is to create this program so that it could be implemented at least in a pilot phase over the winter and into next spring.
What about, back on the storefront assistance program.
Yeah.
What about the storefront improvement program? Rather than assistance, which sounds like can have a negative comment. I mean, what does everybody else think?
How about storefront improvement assistance program?
Well, I think assistance means we would maybe possibly give them all of the funds, and improvement is where, that's what, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Are you thinking the same thing with the assistance?
Well, because it seems like that most social programs anymore have changed to assistance programs, and so therefore it sounds like a handout.
Gotcha.
And so I think that to keep it away from the loan, from saying, spelling out exactly, I think improvement, whether it's in the form of a loan or in the form of a forgivable loan or in the form of a grant, it's to help with improvements.
That's good.
I agree.
Steve, what are your thoughts?
Nope. Your idea.
I think it's a good idea too. New ones, but.
Sounds good. I don't know if they refer to it this way exclusively in the report, but even in that graphic there, they just said storefront program. So I think an extra word in there to connote some action, something's going to change, is good. And I like the distinction of improvement opposed to assistance. So we'll make sure to make that change as we take this forward into the final version that'll get, quote, published, I guess.
Also, improvement is setting the bar a little bit.
Yeah,
making a change.
Assisting it to be the same way it is. No.
Yeah, it is. No, that's a good point. It's going to take a lot of outreach. That's obviously one of the pieces that the group from SEYP emphasized. And so, we're well aware of that.
I think it's a good start. And as we discussed in the previous meeting, it's going to take a little bit to get it implemented. And hopefully, when our first option, we get the results that we want if we lay it out correctly. And then it will roll from there.
That's the goal. Definitely. The minor enhancement capital projects, again, just articulating from the report and the plan, citing those pages, some of the district identity and transportation improvements that these dollars could be used for. We also talked about the importance, and this was something that the board and staff will have to keep in mind, is always looking for these opportunities to leverage the dollars or partner with the dollars, whether with other public entities or with private property owners as well. Makes a lot of sense. There's just a few other fund changes that I wanted to draw out on this last page of the budget message, which really shows that we are indeed ramping up the amount of staff time that will be required to support the agency through these programs. And so what we've included in the fund this year as a new line item is a transfer out to the city's general fund. And the thought process here is really to support the city's personnel services cost of paying employees. The Urban Renewal Agency doesn't have any employees, that it uses the city employees. And so you'll see when we get to the actual proposed budget, but we have in there for this coming year $5,000. We didn't do a calculation or some, elaborate estimation of how much money we should transfer. More so, staff felt that this was just an important line item to put in there, mostly for the board and also to a degree staff's awareness of this as the, as what we're doing expands and we are using more time, because we wouldn't want to be in a position where, if I and or Melissa or whoever else was dedicating 5 hours a week, or whatever that number is, add up over the course of 52 weeks. So just something to keep in mind now and in the future.
Is that any portion of that going to be what the student person that we're talking about getting from
SEYP?
The initials weren't coming to me.
No problem.
Is part, like, the storefront loan program or any implementation of that going to be part of her
It could be, and actually that's a great question. So we, at the city council meeting last Wednesday night, we talked about that there's about 10% of the Sustainable City Year program budget remaining, and that's about $12,000. And in talking with Megan Banks, who's the program manager, and looking at what classes we had winter term, what classes we have going this spring term, thinking ahead to, well, it'd be great to have some classes in summer, but the students are gone, the faculty are gone, it just doesn't really make sense. So then looking ahead to fall term and saying, well, should we kind of break up the program like that? You know, what class or classes could we get for that $12,000? And the piece that I always emphasized and will continue to emphasize to Megan is that we don't just want classes to come do projects in Lapine. We want classes to come do projects that we want them to do in Lapine. So what we're proposing to do with that remaining $12,000 is to pivot into looking at the work that the students did in winter and spring term and figuring out what the next steps are to implement some of that. So not more planning on more topics, but more focus on moving the planning on the projects that's already been done forward. And so, great question, Connie. And so what some of the work they're gonna do is kind of distilling and putting together all of the projects and things that have been done over winter and spring term. Part of it's also gonna be some facilitated conversation by Megan and this Katie Fields, through SEYP with the council, and maybe even the URA board, on which of these projects do you want to prioritize. So that'll take, they're putting together a draft scope of work. We agreed that they'd have that to me by the middle of May, so 2 weeks from now. And that'll give me a sense. The main piece I asked them is, well, how much time do you think that's going to take? Because what's the leftover amount of time? Because then I need to think through, in conversation with council and potentially the URA board, of what should we have them work on for that remainder of the time? Because I think I'm pretty confident there will be leftover time. So what makes sense over the course of, say, half of June, all of July and August, what's a manageable piece of work to give them to do for that amount of money?
I still, regardless of if that piece fits in for this year, we need a line item. That's a budget, because we need to be realistic as it ramps up, because the expectation once we start some of our programs is going to be that we're going to do more and more, and that will require more staff time. So I think, you know, making sure we have that line item in.
Yeah.
Unless we can leverage and get donations.
You never know.
Well, we're hoping that will happen in addition to that.
So anyway, though, I think, you know, yeah, very definitely that's a conservative figure, and whether we use it or not.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think that's important. The other, let's see, there's also $13,500 budgeted in contracted services that could be available for additional consulting needs and or the ability to support planning projects, either directly through the Urban Renewal Agency or in partnership with other public organizations. So that was really thinking about if there maybe could be contribution towards a grant that an entity was pursuing to master plan something, those dollars could be used for that. If there's a different element or program or something that Urban Renewal wants to move forward and we need to hire someone who's done that before, we could use some of those funds to do that. So they're kind of they're not set aside directly for a specific cost, but those are kind of the bucket of items that we, that staff was anticipating spending those on next year. So I think what probably makes the most sense also at this point, it'll be a little bit late, but it'll be fun to go line by line down through the proposed budget worksheet, and then definitely want to shift into any other discussion or questions from the board.
Sounds good.
All
right.
So the two columns that I'll draw your attention to, and I'll put projected column and then the proposed column. for the projected column, that's showing what amount of money we had at the beginning of last fiscal year. So we had an audited beginning fund balance of $52,585. We're anticipating to get to at least $65,000 in property taxes. We already brought in about $60,000 through March, which was more than we budgeted. One of the things we consistently do is we try to come as close as possible, but when in doubt, to underestimate revenues and overestimate expenditures. That's a good principle. And ultimately also, when we're going through the fiscal year, we can always check back and see what amount of money we have on hand at that moment. And as long as we budgeted the expenditure of those funds, the main thing to keep in mind is we can spend what we have. That's a pretty simple concept as well. So keep moving down through that projected column. Money on audit, we spent a little bit of money on advertising expense and contracted services. The $6,500 projected there is the $5,000 being spent towards Sustainable City Year program. That check will be cut probably, I think at the June meeting, we'll have a check for all of you to sign. It'll be going to two of you assigned to be going to U of O. And then working down through the remainder of the fund, we didn't have a capital outlay line last year. We didn't have a storefront improvement program line last year. We didn't have a transfer out line last year. We didn't have a reserve for future capital line last year. So we're adding a lot of these elements as the funds are growing and as the amount of ways that we're either spending or reserving dollars is also growing. So pretty straightforward there. You work your way to the bottom, $104,585. That's our net resources over requirements. That comes up and that starts the proposed column there as our beginning fund balance. Wouldn't surprise me, like last year, that maybe the audited number is actually a little higher, but we figure that's pretty close. So we conservatively estimated $80,000 in property taxes, giving us that $184,585 number. So again, going fairly quickly because some of it's repetitive, but we've got money budgeted for the annual audit. There's that $13,500 we talked about for the various ways to be spent on contracted services. We do have $2,000 budgeted in for legal fees, anticipating that there will probably be some either RFP creation or just contract drawing up an agreement between the urban agency and the property owner when we do roll out the storefront improvement program. There's the $50,000 we budgeted for the storefront improvement program, and we have a little over $2,000 in for miscellaneous expense. Any questions on those materials and services? Moving down to capital outlay, that's our way of keeping track of spending dollars on physical projects. Things are getting built. So we have $50,000 budgeted in that line item. Again, we didn't set those dollars aside specifically for this property or that project, but going back to the partnership conversation, there could be an opportunity to spend some of that on the Transit City Center property, also at other locations in the urban renewal district, so keep that in mind.
And that would also be what we would use for the small projects if we were to.
Yeah, if there was a corner, say we want to put in a crosswalk, then we want to do whatever it may be. Yep. Yeah, we would draw from that line item, exactly. There's the transfer out to the general fund of $5,000. One of the things to keep in mind as well with transfers is that when you budget the transfer isn't actually made. It's made at some point throughout the fiscal year. And so moving forward, one thing to keep in mind is that it might make sense to budget a higher transfer amount, and then you can always do less than that. You just can't do more unless you come back to do what's called a supplemental budget.
Would we want to caveat having that transfer occurring on the quarter instead of at the end of the year?
I think that would make sense
makes sense all the way around, because then we know what you know, if they've used 5,000 in the first quarter, our budget's in trouble.
That's a good point. And I think one thing that staff can do fairly easily as we, you know, really would probably be rolling into fall.
Right.
But we can quarterly keep track of how much time we're spending on the urban wages.
I think realistically we need to have that happening because, again, as we're developing this and the programs, if we really don't want to get to another year and say, well, we really missed that because we should be expanding, and then we would know quarterly.
Yeah, and keeping in mind, too, there's a lot of ways, a lot of opportunities for, you know, if the time is there, if the work is there, then the resources need to be allocated accordingly for that human capital. And so I think that at this point and heading into next fiscal year, we're definitely in good shape to create and implement that program. The following budget year or a budget year after that, I don't know. It might make sense for there at some point down the road to be a half-time person, or so, I don't know what that would look like, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking, okay, how many staff hours is $5,000?
Yeah, no, that's a good point too.
It's not many.
And that's why at the quarter we need to look at it and evaluate.
Yeah, as long as we're being realistic with ourselves and then being transparent and communicating to all of you, I think we can keep a really good finger on the pulse of that. Yeah, that's a great point. To contingencies, a little higher, $20,000. Our goal in general with every fund is to keep that about 10 to 15% of the operating budget, which is materials and services plus personnel plus capital outlay. So we're at or above that. We've got $37,000 then reserved for future capital, which would, in theory, those dollars would, when they wanted to be spent, would roll up into the capital outlay section of the budget.
But, and what's the procedure for doing that? I mean, if throughout the year there's a project identified, does that have to be moved during a budget session? So we would have to...
Yeah, so if we wanted to spend, if all of you approve this budget as it is, and then it's adopted by the board in June, and anytime between July 1, 18 and June 30, 19, if we wanted to access and spend some of that $37,000, we would have to do a supplemental budget process, which means we would have to reconvene the budget committee, and then we'd have to make amendments to the budget and readopt a supplemental budget. Looking at Ashley,
I'm looking it up because I think you're wrong.
To see if I was saying anything wrong.
I believe that reserve for future expenditure cannot be accessed during a budget year. You can access contingency and another one.
You don't even think that's a supplemental budget process?
No, I'll look it up right now. But I think that reserve for future expenditure, it's like, the only time you can access that is if there's some natural disaster and FEMA red flags the city, and then you can get into that money. There's a huge process for that. But I'll look it up right now.
You basically, if you took
You out, can't take it.
Yeah, if you took out your reserve, you could play on the assumption we were spending every dollar. You wouldn't be able to function very well the next year because you wouldn't even have a beginning balance.
And the reason we budget contingency between 10 and 15% is because you can make that transfer with just a resolution. You don't have to go through the supplemental budget process. But if you were going to foresee that you had, there's this big project happening and we're going to budget contingency at 30%, then you would go through that supplemental budget process to access those funds to get them into capital, where I don't think you can get it out of reserve for future expenditure.
I was just thinking because we do have projects that
we do.
I mean,
yeah, but I don't think you'll have any projects that big.
Well, the transit center could be.
Well, but I think there's other funds at the city other than urban renewal for that. So I don't think we'd have to worry about that.
Just wondering how that works.
No, it's a good question, and we should know that for certain. Ashley, we've never been in that scenario, but to Vicki's point as well, one thing you'll notice is that we didn't budget anything in this unappropriated ending fund balance, and that is, like in the city's budget, I think in every fund, we have something in unappropriated ending fund balance, which does guarantee that there's going to be at least that much at the beginning fund balance of the following year. So whether it's in reserve for future capital or actually in unappropriate ending fund balance, it's the same concept to a degree. And in regards to the Transit City Center property, we've definitely talked about, it's still to be determined, but we've definitely talked about some phase one improvements in the summer of 2019. But we also know that there's going to be more to be done in the summer of 2020. So it could make sense to reallocate additional dollars the following fiscal year. So
I have a concrete answer.
Concrete answer.
You can access those funds with a supplemental budget. The emergency situation is when you can access them without a supplemental budget.
That makes sense.
That makes a lot more sense to me too.
And in my time here, we've never done a supplemental budget, but it wouldn't be all that hard.
It's not the end of the world.
You don't want to do it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Agreed.
We did it in the fire district.
Oh, okay.
So then just back to that for a minute, just because I want understand everything about it. Should we be putting some in the inappropriate ending fund balance and not everything in just in reserve for capital? Future
are you going to make me open it?
You're going to look it up. So
I'm going to make you answer all my questions.
That's okay.
No, this is good.
I'm glad you're asking them here.
Well, if I ask them to you now, then when we get to budget,
that's why I'm glad you're asking them here.
No, it's good. It's good.
And it's good for all of us to know.
It is, because I wonder if unappropriate ending fund balance you can't access.
That would be my guess.
That might be the case. So there's probably these layers of accessibility.
There is.
And the reserve you can tap into with a supplemental. I don't know, maybe you could do this.
And if anybody's really sick and really excited about budget, every year in spring you can go to the Oregon Budget Law class. It's free. And they'll tell you all of this stuff. 6 hours, great time.
Or just read through the Oregon Budget Manual.
That's why we have you.
They change something every year.
You learn something every year that you can share.
I do learn something every year.
Yeah, it's not, while she's looking, it's not a totally satisfying or eloquent answer, but I feel like the reserve for future capital or kind of the unappropriate ending fund balance, it's kind of tomato-tomato to a degree, just understanding that you're rolling those dollars forward.
Sure.
But one thing that I wouldn't want to see as someone who's putting a budget together is, unless we were going to either spend some of those $37,000 on capital projects next year or add to that $37,000 to make it a bigger number, I wouldn't want to then see that $37,000 just get smaller next year for no reason. That makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. It's a commitment to put $37,000 reserve for future capital.
The only time we would do that would be at the end of the Urban Renewal Agency itself, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it's only an agency for a certain number of years, correct?
Yeah, once we get to the end, the dollars are
there
to be spent.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that with that 37, or with any of the other proposed column, and we can, all of you, in the approval process can adjust that if you see fit, or if you want to adjust it in a certain way.
While we're waiting for Ashley, we do have public comments, so
sure.
We only have one person in the public out there. Do you have any comments on the budget?
You guys are doing great. I'm enjoying this. You all seem to know what you're doing, so the right people are here.
It's okay every time.
Right. We need a steering committee.
An unappropriated ending fund balance is your cash on hand that you will need to operate from July 1st until you get taxes in November. And so if you budget something in there, it should only be the amount that you need to survive as a business from July 1 to November when you get your first set of taxes. It should not be used as a savings account.
Interesting. So thinking about that, we don't have we don't have payroll, we don't have, so we don't really have set expenses between July and November.
Except for if we take Vicki's comment to heart and we're actually spending the money quarterly on what you guys are using to, for payroll.
The 5,000 that we set aside, the transfers to general fund. Now, my other question on that would be...
You might want to read this.
What's that?
You might want to read it. There's a lot of information.
Yeah, no, I can do that. But the other thing that's throwing me off is that we've got $104,000 is our beginning fund balance, so we don't
so you don't need that
money.
So exactly.
Don't need it. Oh, okay.
It would be... There's a... If you had a district that really struggled from July to November when they didn't get their taxes and they didn't know what their carryover was going to be, then they would budget $150,000 in unappropriated ending fund balance to assure that they had that money as a carryover into the next year. Because they wouldn't know what their carryover in the beginning fund balance is going to be.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So we're not in a situation,
right.
In a situation
we're
where we're going to need that.
Right. Okay.
And we might be able to establish credit with the city if we had...
I know the lady who vets the applications.
Someone's been looking for a new job.
All right. Do you have anything else to finish up on?
I don't, no.
Great. Do we have any other comments from the agency board?
Do we need to make a motion to accept the budget?
You do.
We do.
I so move that we accept this budget for the 2018 year.
Any other discussion?
I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? It's approved unanimously.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And we have, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you'll see it again in June, in a month. Mm-hmm. We'll adopt it, and we'll have a formal public hearing at that point as well. So.
And that's at the first meeting.
Yes.
And just to be clear, we have a set meeting time now, and that is the first Tuesday in
3 o'clock.
Of the month at 3 o'clock. Okay. We had no other matters, so any public comment in general? Any staff comments?
Nope, other than thank you, and it's going to be exciting to really ramp up the Urban Renewal Agency and start cutting checks and making things happen and see how 2018-19 fiscal year goes. It's staff's excited, a little nervous, but excited. And thank you all for your work and your time, dedication of time as well, because it has taken time and it will continue to take time as we do ramp up. So thanks.
Ashley, any comments? Melissa, any comments?
Budget committee.
Yeah, what?
I have a comment.
Budget committee comments.
Comments. Yeah, I was getting there, but you go right ahead.
Where's our cake?
Where's our cake?
This is a historic event.
Do we have money?
I'm gonna grab Holly.
For a cake.
I'm gonna grab Holly. She almost bought you cookies too, and she said, "There's only four of them this afternoon. I'm not buying cookies."
Maybe no for the June meeting when
okay,
the
that
at the public hearing, that's a more appropriate place for a cake.
Come back for some cake, not some cookies.
And because it is exciting. It is the first one.
Requested.
It's another first for the city.
There you go.
Wow.
You know,
next meeting.
Having been there from the very beginning, you know, waiting over 10 years.
Is that how long it's been, Stu?
No.
Oh,
no.
No, it was
but
the budget
city,
committee was formed in 2014.
Yeah,
I see. Okay.
It's just exciting to see.
Or that Urban Renewal Agency.
It's like that goosebumps. Mm-hmm. And it would have been calmed by Kate.
You're just going to have to take your goosebumps
okay,
out with you.
So, Andrea, go back and look. You know, when we first came in, we had the $22,000. That's what we started with. So, conceptually, everybody's thinking, you know, oh, good, you know, we have the Urban Renewal Agency, so we're like doing all of these things, and then we're going, we have
$22,000. No, we have to wait until we have more money.
And then you start to go across on this budget as we've ramped up. So 100, And, you know, we talked about what would it be like when we got close to $200,000. And at $22,000, that looked like a long ways away.
Yeah, especially and, when that's what I mean.
Yeah. So anyway, and then we see a couple of new buildings and we know those tax dollars are going to be assigned. And we're thinking, this is going to start. This is really going to happen. So, yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Any other budget committee member comments? All right, the meeting is adjourned. So we...
Can you make a motion for that?
Oh, I need to make a motion, I'm sorry.
I so move that we adjourn. A motion.
Okay.
I second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. So we turn around and have another meeting right after, but...
We had one agenda.